Welcome to Today in Oregon. It's Friday, May 16, 2008. I'm Lynn Terry in the Oregonian Newsroom. Coming up, the Johnson Ridge Observatory opens today on the eve of the 28th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And there's a full lineup of music in Portland through Monday. But first, Portland's free Wi-Fi network appears headed for the digital graveyard. The company that owns it, MetroFi, plans to shut it down or sell it. That's despite the fact that 15,000 people use it each month. Mike Rogaway of The Oregonian is covering this story. So, Mike, why are they going to shut it down?
They'll tell you it's not making money. The idea was that they would sell advertising on the network, and that would be enough to pay for its construction and operations. They said a couple months ago that the ads were covering the operating costs, but weren't enough to offset the high cost of construction. And so they've said, that's enough. We're not going to go any further down this road. They're going to concentrate instead on building public safety networks, which are private, use a more robust technology, and presumably make more money.
So that means goodbye free Wi-Fi in Portland?
Well, probably, unless somebody steps in, the city or some private company, and offers to buy it. MetroFi sent a letter to the city this week. They offered to sell it to the city for $900,000. The city has shown no appetite to pay that kind of money for it. It's hard to see why you would if it's not making money. And MetroFi agrees that it's not likely that somebody will step in and buy it.
Is this an impossible venture, free Wi-Fi in a city in the United States? There was a network in Philadelphia. Now that's closing as well, correct?
Yes, that's right. Earthlink is shutting down its network there. The trick with Wi-Fi is it's a low-powered technology that doesn't require expensive federally licensed radio spectrum to use. Anybody can set up their own Wi-Fi network. But because it's so low power, it doesn't go very far. So you need to build a lot of antennas. And also because it's so low power, it's subject to all kinds of interference from other Wi-Fi networks, from construction equipment, from radio signals, ham radio operators, just people walking by. Any number of things can screw it up. And so it's proving out not to work very well on a large, large scale.
Thanks very much, Mike. You can read more about this story tomorrow in The Oregonian. Today, the Johnson Ridge Observatory in Southwest Washington opens, just in time for the anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. The volcano erupted 28 years ago on Sunday after 2 months of activity. Willie Scott studies Mount St. Helens for the U.S. Geological Survey. He says geologists were expecting an eruption, but the exact timing took them by surprise.
The big landslide happened quite suddenly on May 18th, the big explosion that followed as this magma that had been intruded up into the volcano basically blew up because this big load on top of it had been removed by the landslide. And the great landslide moved 15 miles down the valley, and the blast went out and covered a couple hundred square miles and knocked down a lot of trees. And those aspects of the eruption were relatively sort of new in terms of Mount St. Helens' eruptive history. At that time, we didn't know that St. Helens had ever done anything like that before. And so those were pretty surprising in terms of their magnitude and extent.
The eruption killed 56 people. After that, there were periodic eruptions, nothing major. Then in 2004, Mount St. Helens started building a new dome, with hot lava being extruded into the crater. This activity stopped at the beginning of this year. The likelihood of another major eruption, like the one 28 years ago, is unlikely now, Scott says, because the volcano no longer has a tall cone.
A lot of what happened in those initial minutes, the great landslide and the big blast, were because magma had been emplaced high up into the cone. And that can't happen anymore because the cone's basically not there anymore. You know, it's possible we could have an eruption similar to what went on in the afternoon of May 18th, 1980, with a big column of ash and pumice and some hot flows of pumice and ash sweeping out around the flanks of the volcano and so forth. But that kind of eruption is certainly in the realm of possibility, as are different kinds of eruptions. Mount St. Helens has done almost every kind of thing that a volcano like Mount St. Helens can do.
That's why it's endlessly fascinating for geologists and the public. Johnson Ridge Observatory is open daily from 10 to 6. Admission costs $8 for adults. On Sunday, for the anniversary, visitors get in for free. It's the weekend, and there's a lot of music happening in Portland through Monday. First, on Saturday, at Audio Cinema, the Portland group Fernando and Napalm Beach will be playing. Here's a track from the lead singer, Fernando.
Todos los días pierdo color, blanco y negro me convierto yo.
Fernando and Napalm Beach is a new group. It pairs Fernando, a roots rock singer-songwriter from Argentina, with the proto-grunge group Napalm Beach. The music they're playing together is steeped in American roots music. They'll be on stage at 8 on Saturday at Audio Cinema on Southeast Madison. Tickets cost $10. Now on Sunday, Curbstock will be at Oaks Park. The lineup of 20 groups includes the Norman Sylvester Band.
Out on the dance floor, everybody getting down, dancing real funky, they're trying to tear the house down. Fannie Mae is on the dance floor, just like a
This should be a fun show for the whole family. Curbstock, which is a benefit for public schools, starts at 11. For more information, go to brownpapertickets.com. And finally, on Monday, the New York group Coheed and Cambria will be at the Roseland. They've been around, though with a different name, for more than 10 years and have produced 4 albums. Here's a track from their latest. It's called Welcome Home. This is a band with a vision, and that's something Luciana Lopez, the Oregonian's pop music critic, likes about them.
Coheed and Cambria are one of those bands that really embrace the epic. They're very into concept albums, like there's a whole concept behind their name, and there's a graphic novel and all of that, and really it's that whole like science fiction epic kind of idea that they really embrace. And so I think you either love them or you just totally think they're dweebs, but I admire their commitment.
They'll perform at 8 at the Roseland Theater on Northwest 6th Avenue. Tickets cost $22.50. Well, that's our show for today. And for this week, get out and enjoy the weather and have a great weekend. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Today in Oregon. This is Lynn Terry in the Oregonian Newsroom.